2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to preach a message entitled tonight, Are You a Good Soldier of the Cross? A good soldier. Not a normal kind of soldier. A good soldier. I remember when I was growing up, my father taught me many things. Now, he passed away when I was 14 years old, but he taught me a lot of things. And the thing that still rings in my mind, and it still rings in my mind today, and I did that with my kids. If you don't work and you can work, hello, you ought to be working. It's not how much somebody can give you, it's what you can give to them. We're living in a day and age where it's even hard to find somebody who's a good worker. Like everybody wants everything handed to them for nothing. That's not how I was taught. And when my dad passed away, I learned what it was to work at an early age. I remember starting a paper route, and it was an Inquirer paper route. You had to get up like 5 o'clock in the morning. The first week I did it, it rained every single day. I quit that paper route, amen. The old ladies would say, "You brought my paper too late. It's all wet." Hello, that's what they would say, amen. You know, they were, because you know, old people wake up early, amen. We just wake up early. That's how it goes. But when my father died, my mom had 2 other children, and I was the oldest of 3. And I remember in my mind, my dad telling me that you need to work. And I remember going down the street where I lived. I told you I lived in row homes, so. You know, there's 100 houses on our block, 50 on each side. And I remember going down the street, we had a local delicatessen. And I said to the fellow, I said, "Mr. Jack, could I get a job?" He said, "Yeah, you can get a job if you start 5 o'clock in the morning." Listen, roosters don't wake up at 5 o'clock. I'm thinking, 5 o'clock? And my dad taught me, 15 minutes is on time. Not running at the last minute and getting somewhere. Sometimes my wife and I have a little fight about that sometimes, amen? But they have a whole lot more to take care of than I do, amen? And so I remember getting that job, and I remember just wanting to be a good testimony. And I didn't want to be somebody who was lazy and carry on the Kaiser name. And I remember starting, because Dad taught me 15 minutes early, so was on time, so I showed up at 4:45 in the morning. Listen, as a 14-year-old, I thought, this is nuts. But it had to be done. I'm trying to help Mom out. I'm going to Catholic school. Back then, it cost $795 to go to high school. That's, back then was a lot of money. And I remember showing up for work, and they had a big business for truckers coming in, and you had to give them sandwiches. And so I'd work from 5 o'clock till about 7:30, and then get on a bus and then get on a trolley or an L to get to school. And then I'd come home, because the most important thing, there's 2 things that are most important to a teenager, amen. Number one is, what are they going to eat? Like, that is top priority, food. Like, that's like, and this job, they said, "Listen, son," he said, "this is delicatessen." He said, "You can make whatever you want for lunch." I thought, this is awesome. So I would take an Italian loaf of bread, and that would be my hoagie for lunch. Come on. You want to get? I'm getting excited right now. Like, I'm getting hungry. Like, Brother Craig, it's Greg, it's time to leave. Amen. Let's get this thing done and get something to eat. And then I would go to school. And all you kids, put fingers in your ears, okay? I didn't like to go to school. I didn't like to go to school, but you had to go to school. And I did graduate. But. I would come home from school, and after I got home, I would eat, and then I would go work as a janitor at the Catholic Church. And then I had a job on Saturday and Sunday. I said all that to say this. In that realm, it taught me some great principles in my life. And it taught me, you ready? To be the kind of person, really honestly, that had a little integrity at 14. Because sometimes, you know, we just bounce around and exist. And then I get saved and life is totally different. And I'm thinking, God help me go through that, what I went through. And then not too long ago, we had a pastor, Pastor Phil Hubert in upstate New York, who passed away, who was running with his wife, and he ran every day, about 5-6 days a week. And at the end of the run, when they came to the driveway, he began to sort of like have a heart attack and died in the driveway. 4 kids, pastor of a church. And the son that was there, you ready, was 14 when he lost his dad. And I'm thinking, all the way back then, God put me in a place so I could try to comfort somebody else who went through what I went through. So I just want to say tonight that when you're in this race and you're fighting in this battle, even though sometimes it seems rather hard, the reward is coming later, amen? And sometimes we don't see what God is doing, but listen, God is in control. 2 Timothy 2, we'll read 4 verses, and then we'll get into the message. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Listen. You can't ever go wrong than the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Listen, Jesus will never let you down. Come on, he is there whenever you need him. And all we have to do is call. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. Amazing thing. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So I think about this. So can I ask you a question? So what I have, I'm looking to pass down. Come on, you ready? To faithful men. Which comes a responsibility. Because you want to pass down what you have to faithful people. You can't put confidence in an unfaithful person. It's like a tooth at a joint. It's like a knee that's got a problem. Can I get a witness there, Brother Greg? Amen. Hello. I got the same issue going on. Don't worry about it. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. How many faithful people do we have in church? How many faithful men do we have in this church? Now, I know women make everything go. I understand it. But you need faithful men to lead this church. And you have some of those faithful men in this church. There's no doubt about that. But I'm looking for what I have before I pass on, that I'm committing it to faithful men. And I'm looking for them to take it to the next generation. I'm just not looking for it to stop here. Hello? My question is, what do you have which is worth passing on to somebody else? I want you to think about that for a minute. Because the life you live and the testimony you have, believe it or not, somebody is watching what you do. And you think for 1 minute like people don't pay attention, you're out of your mind. Before you know it, when you're around somebody for a long period of time, they start imitating you. That's the greatest, I believe, the sign of flattery when somebody imitates you, even though it might aggravate you. Hello? But here's the Apostle Paul, and he's wanting to give what he has to faithful men. He's not looking to just bide his time. He's looking to see the impact he can make in somebody else's life. And we should not be the kind of people who are worried about what we're doing. Come on now. We should worry about what God wants us to do. and to pass on what we're doing to the next generation. If you look in the book of Judges, and Joshua was concerned about it, and it says Moses was there, then Joshua was the next, and the Bible said then another generation came up after Moses who knew not God. They only heard about what God did. They didn't experience it. You know what I'm praying for? I'm praying for God to bring revival so these kids experience it. Woo! Like, I want God to show up. Come on now. I was in a chapel. I was at Rosedale Baptist Church. I was doing chapel in the morning. And I've been preaching in chapels for over 28 years. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit of God wanted to do something. And I remember, like, I just began to have some teenagers sing. And before you know it, God cut loose. I didn't even preach. The service went on for 3.5 hours. Come on, listen. I mean, people got saved. About 10 to 12 people got saved. I mean, people surrendered their lives to the Lord. I think sometimes in our lives, we put God in a schedule. And if he can't work according to this time, then I'm out of here. Listen, if God showed up, could you stay long enough to be there when he showed up? See, that's what it's all about. And I want those young kids to see God do something. Listen, you got some great kids in this church. And we need to pass things off to them. Verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now you know this, and I don't want to get ahead of my message. That no matter what you think or what somebody has told you, that when you get saved, you're going to endure some hardness. There are some people who are not here today in church because when hardness came, they're gone. Because they thought everything was going to be easy and perfect. Let me help you here today. Nothing is easy. Hello? Life itself is not easy. And there's going to be hard times. But you need to endure hardness. Number 4, verse 4, and we'll get into the message. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the longevity and the testimony. And I pray that you continue to work in this church, hedge and protect the pastor and his wife and the staff, God. And I pray that you'd help us, help me, to be a good soldier. And I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. Wash me and cleanse me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I'd like to look at in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse number 1, is first of all, I want you to look in the enlistment. The enlistment. And I want you to look at the second part of verse number 4. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, when you get saved, you are no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you are enlisted into this army. And you are not supposed to be AWOL, which means absent without leave. But we're living in a day and age where people just, for no apparent reason, get saved and never darken the doors of the church. Do you have a problem with that? I got a problem with that. I mean, when I got saved, the place I wanted to be was church. Hello? And I wanted to make sure that any opportunity I had, I'd come to church. I wanted to hear God's word, but I wanted to fellowship with people. And there's no excuse for us, unless it's health reasons, for us not to be at church. And he says we do those things so we can please the one who has enlisted us to be a soldier. I don't know. What did we think we signed up for? I mean, this is not a playground. This is a battleground. The devil's doing all he can so the church doesn't advance. He knows his time is short. Let's look at a couple verses. John 8:29. John 8, verse 29. Now, this is the Lord speaking. And here's what Jesus Christ said in John 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Watch this one. For I do always those things that please him. Woo! So everything I do in life ought to not be to please me. It ought to be to please him. Listen, it is not all about you. It is all about God. The question is, who are you pleasing? Now, I know you're married. Hello? You need to please each other. That's a good thing, amen? It's good to be nice to your wife. Hello? Come on now. But we ought to want to please him who's called us. One of the verses, we looked at it this morning, but I want to look at a couple. Go to Romans chapter 12, 1. We looked there this morning. Familiar verse, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? So can I ask you a question? What reasonable service are you doing for God being a soldier? We ought to all be doing something. As far as I know, when I first got saved, I went to the pastor. I said, what could we do? And he said, well, we need somebody to clean the church. That always seems to be a need. Come on, like nobody wants to clean the church. And I thought, well, I can vacuum, but I ain't cleaning the bathrooms. That's going to be my wife's job, amen? Because you don't want me to clean the bathroom, amen? Hello? It won't be as clean as a woman that cleans the bathroom. Hello? So I vacuum and she cleans. I mean, I thought maybe I'd get a position. And that's the position I got. Amen. Till eventually, God had me work with Junior Church and the people. That's a phone ringing, okay, in case you didn't know that, all right? Hello. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I learned this when I got saved. The things that I had in my mind and the way I was taught, it had to change. My thinking had to change. And the only way that would change is by me getting in my Bible. And I had to renew my mind. Why? You ready? Watch. My music had to change. Like I can go somewhere, hello, and I hear music on, Lord have mercy. Like the stuff that's down my road, I have to rebuke it in Jesus' name, because before you know it, I'll be tapping my foot, and the next minute I want to bust out in a move. You know what I'm talking about, right? I know you're not like that, amen, because I know you're spiritualer than I am. But the bottom line is the flesh. You let the flesh loose, you can get yourself messed up. The good news for us is the devil is not all-powerful like God. He's not all-knowing like God. He's not all-omnipresent like God. And he's not God. He wanted to be like God, but how'd that work out for him? Hello? The bottom line is he's gone. No longer in heaven, was created as one of the most beautiful angels there were. Watch it. He was created with music in him. Any reason why we struggle sometimes with music? You preach to teenagers and young people, and some of the things they have a problem with is the wrong music. And maybe you do too. Hello? But you need to change what you listen to. That's the first thing, enlistment. Number two is the entanglement. We looked a little bit about that today. Go back to Romans chapter 12. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. He's getting it. Don't worry. It's okay. It's fine. Go back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, the beginning part of it, A, the entanglement. 4a, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, I want you to think for a minute. I want you to think about a fellow you might want fighting for you, for your life in a battle. You would want somebody who's qualified. You would want somebody who has the right armament. You would want somebody who's willing to give their life for you. Now, I want you to think about that for 1 second. And we got that with people today and back in the day and even now who give their lives for this country. Whew. That's big stuff, man. You might not think that's big, but guess what? We're free today because of it. Whew. And then think about a guy who all he really concerned about is amusement. And he wants to go to the battle, but he like looks like he's going to the beach. He's got his beach umbrella. He's definitely got food with him, amen, and a cooler and something to drink. Hello. And he's dressed in shorts, in his swim trunks. Come on now. And flip. Yeah, he's got the flippers on, amen. And then he's got, you know, because he's got all these muscles, amen. He's got the T cut, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, like I'm all that in a bag of chips, amen. And he shows up and says, I'm ready for battle. Really? Illustration? I think that's sometimes just like us. We're not even ready for battle. And listen, if you're a Christian here today, you're in battle every single day of your life. I was in upstate New York, almost by the Canadian border. And I had a hat. It said, on the front of it said, Jesus loves you. You would not believe the reaction I got with that hat. It's unbelievable. And this fella who was from Canada said, well, Jesus doesn't love me. I said, well, Jesus loves you. What I do is I get up early in the morning and I just go down to the hotel and I sit in the lobby and I look for people to come by. And I just wait. They usually show up, amen. Hello. And I said, well, John 3:16 says that Jesus loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent his son to die on the cross because he loved you. He said, well, did you ever go into war? I said, I'm in war every single day of my life. He said, no, I don't mean like trying to put that aside. Like, no, I mean real war. What I do is real war. Amen. Come on now. Hello, it's real war. I said, no, I've never been in the military. My father was. He said, well, that proves that God doesn't love us. I'm thinking like, man, you're messed up in the mind, bro. Like, you're messed up. But he didn't want to have, and he didn't want to hear what I had to say. Because he was focused on the way he thought.
you know that sometimes we are trained a certain way, and when somebody else says something else, come on, we think that can't be true. It's like before I got saved, I'm trained as a Roman Catholic. I'm thinking they're telling me Jesus plus nothing else to get saved. There's got to be wrong with this. But here's what happens. That one soldier is getting entangled. The things of this world. Let's look at a couple other verses. Let's see. What am I looking for here? Yeah. Look in the same chapter, 2 Timothy 2. Look to 22 through 24. 22 through 24. Go up. Let's go to 20, okay? And let's get a little bit of context here. But in a great house, there are vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So what do I have to do? Oh, here it goes, 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must be, you ready? Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them the repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So I think about it. So I think, okay. So those people who really get entangled with the world and leave the church, can I ask you a question? What are we doing to try to get those people back? In a church like Solid Rock, as large as it is, I think about this. If we just got 10% of those people back. So I want you to think for a minute. So how much time do we pray for the people who are no longer here in the church to get out of the entanglements of the world that they're in? Now just think about that for a minute. And you know that they're looking for somebody who really cares. And sometimes we get a little out of focus, and the first thing we want to do is we want to preach down their throats. Come on now. I'm not saying you need to agree with how they're living, but you need to reach out and help them where they are. And you need to bring them to where you are. But you ready? The Bible says it takes patience. I don't know. Maybe you're not like me. I don't know. I'm getting older. Sometimes I don't have as much patience as I used to have. You know what I mean? Like, get with it already. And the Lord said, whoa, how much patience do I have with you? Oh, I got the message. Really, how much do we reach those kind of people? Hey, listen. The liberal churches will take them in. They don't have any conviction going on there. They'll be okay to go there. Come on. The love of Christ should be shed abroad for people who are entangled, and they ought to know that it's okay and they can come back to this church. Do you know that's normally not true? Testimony. I had a young girl, teenage girl, who her dad was in the service. He was in the army, and he had to go in to Afghanistan. And so she was home with mom, and I was her volleyball coach. And I sort of was like a little bit of a dad image for her. And she wound up getting hooked up with the wrong guy. The guy was a loser. Can I help you today? Don't sacrifice on the altar of the immediate, which can cost you your future. And don't settle because you get an age
that you have to get married. It's better to want something you don't have than to have something you don't want. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it to settle for better when God has something best for you. It's not worth it. I have horror stories. And so she got messed up, and she got with this guy, and she wound up getting pregnant. Eventually got married, and I was trying to help the family and help her. And her husband was selling drugs and wound up going to jail. And then he came back out of jail and finally came back home. And then he overdosed and died. And I was at his funeral. And I was looking. What I was looking at is I wanted to preach the funeral. Because I was looking at all these kids. On the surface, think that sin is good. Listen, for a season, that's what sin's good for. Hello. It's coming back. You can enjoy it for a season. Hello? So her husband dies. She's got two kids. She has one, and then when he comes back, he gets her pregnant, so now she's got two children by herself. Mom and dad are helping. And I remember talking to her. The reason why I'm on social media is so some of these people can get a hold of me. I'm not into all the nonsense. But I'm there so people can get a hold of me, and that's happened a lot. And so she got a hold of me and she said, Pastor God, she said, do you think they would let me come back to church? So I said, well, let me go to the pastor. Hello, because I don't want to speak out. And the pastor said to me, she won't really be welcomed here to come to church. Listen, can I tell you right now? I about ready to want to get up and shout. I thought, now where did you come from? What kind of life did you have? I know where you came from, and I know where I came from. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So now you must become Jesus Christ who's in charge of the church. Ooh, watch out now. Watch out. Watch it. 2 weeks later, she has a brain seizure and dies with two kids. And I'm thinking, that's the opportunity she had that she wanted to come and get right with God. Can I help you today? The Bible says we should not offend one of those little ones. And we shouldn't offend the older ones either. Hello? I'm just saying to you, you know what that is? That's a lack of compassion. And of some having compassion making the difference. You know why it says some? Because not everybody has compassion. And sometimes we think we're all that in a bag of chips. Come on. And we're perfect. And we got no issues. And you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Amen. Hello. I don't even like coffee, amen. I do like the smell of coffee, amen. I'm thinking, so now here comes another funeral. I'm thinking, man, I want to preach that one. Matter of fact, I called the family up. I knew the family really well. And the son wanted to preach. So he preaches on salvation. I was going to preach on, woo! I was going to preach on just, come on, getting back to where you were before. Understand what you're doing is not working. You need to come back to God. But here's the problem. They're so entangled with what they're doing that they're blinded. And Satan now has blinded their eyes that they can't see the truth. Listen to me. God help us. God help me. Whew. When I don't have time for somebody who needs to call me or get a hold of me, and I don't have just a little bit of time to give them. Come on now. Listen, one day you're going to need help. And God wants us to remember that there are people who are entangled.
1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says this, but as many which hath called you is holy, so be you all holy in all manner of conversation. That's your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Wow. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, just look in the Bible and start to look at people in the Bible who got where they are because of somebody else. Are you ready? The Apostle Paul. I just want to think for a minute. So what first started out to really get a little effect on Paul was the death of Stephen. Who would think that would be something great, right? Hello, but he gave his life for the Lord, and that imprinted in his mind. And then Paul, along the way, Ananias comes, and he meets up with him, and he says, Lord, you must be mistaken, because I know what that guy did. He's killing Christians, and you want me to do what? You want me to go visit him? I don't know. Have you ever been to a point when God tells you something and said, are you for sure or real? Are you? Listen, Lord, are you for real? Like, are you sure? Like when I moved to New Jersey, I'm thinking, God, like people don't move to New Jersey. They move out of New Jersey. And you want me to move where? New Jersey. Come on now. And we're now living there 7 years. And by the grace of God, we've never been behind in the mortgage. I'm just trying to say. So here he goes. So now Ananias is going to lift the scales and Paul's going to get baptized. And the Holy Spirit now is going to begin to work in Paul's life. But the apostles still didn't believe it. I mean, he comes to a place and they don't even believe it. They think it's a trick. Hello? And there's one person that comes alongside of him to help him. His name was Barnabas. His name means son of consolation. Woo! What a testimony there, huh? Have you ever been around people that they really never have a kind word to say at all? Do you know, I stay away from those kind of people. They're also some of the negatives people I've ever met in my life. Like, God can't do this. And God, stop already. The problem is you don't know my God. Come on now. And so here he is, understanding now, because God tells Ananias, he's going to suffer many things for my name's sake. Wow. And Paul gets all in. All right, here we go. And then he takes this man, Timothy, and now he's his son in the faith. Passing something that God gave him and committed it to faithful men. And we started our college about 5 years ago. It's unbelievable what God is doing. But I mean, we graduated, I don't know, 20-some-odd people last year. Had 40 new students this year. There's 95 in the college. We just started. We're not looking to get big. We're looking for people to come who love God. We're not looking to have the knuckleheads. When I was at Bible college, there were some knuckleheads. They didn't want to do anything for God. They just want to play. It's not time to play. Amen? Now, Paul, look at 2 Timothy 4, let's see, 10 and 11. 2 Timothy 4, 10 and 11. I want you to see what happens at the end of Paul's life and what goes on because people get entangled. You ready? Here we go. Verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Watch. Was Mark profitable in the beginning? Do you know who helped Mark?
Barnabas. So Barnabas was the kind of guy who just got around somebody and tried to encourage them and make them better. Can I ask you a question? When people get around you, do you make them better or do you make them bitter? Are you sandpaper? Come on now. Come on, God's looking for some people who encourage people. Listen, people need encouragement. Sometimes a kind word can make the difference in somebody's life. Look what he says. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bringeth with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now watch what he says here. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Woo! I don't think I want to be noted in that one. Amen? Come on now. I mean, he caused me a bunch of trouble. You know, we as Christians, we shouldn't be troublemakers. There ought to be something different about us. I don't know. I sit in churches sometimes and God's like talking to me like, you need to do this. Like I brought Timothy up. God said, give him $5. I had it one time. I only had a 20 in my pocket, Tim. That's probably been the time you should have been up there. Amen. Now here's what I'm trying to say to you. Sometimes what you do for people, you have no idea the effect it can have on somebody. And you might not see it now, but you may see it down the road. And I'm thinking like Barnabas had no idea what was going to happen here. Nobody wanted to be with Paul. Hello? It's sort of like when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross and everybody forsook him. How do you think that makes you feel when you're taking a stand? For instance, you ready? Let me just go down here a little bit. So you're in a court battle, in a court case, to try to build a building on the property that you own. I don't know. I think these townships just got a little too much power, and God needs to shake them up a little bit. Hello? That's where I'm at. Amen? But it's going to take us to pray. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to live like that and believe that. And God is able to take care of all of that. Matthew 6:21 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Turn to one other place and we'll go to the next point and we'll be through. Wow, you're holding me up right here. Matthew 6:33. We looked at that a little bit this morning. I got to hurry up. Matthew 6:33, 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Can I ask you a question? Did you ever worry about something that's going to happen and you worry about it before it even happens? And then it never happens. It's the devil trying to get yourself messed up and entangled. Because when you're worrying and you're concerned about something, you don't have faith. And then it never happens. Come on now, some of you women know what I'm talking about there. Come on now, talk to me. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. I remember when we get ready to move to New Jersey, and we're getting out of Pennsylvania, and we're in a spot where we think we're good. And my wife said to me, "Hun, are you really sure we're supposed to move?" Now, my wife just wants to make sure the Lord is leading and not Joe Kaiser. Because Joe Kaiser has made some mistakes in his life. Hello. And as long as she knows God is in control and God is leading, then she's behind you. And I remember when we're getting ready to sell the house and we're looking for a house, And at the time, I was paying $92.57 for two cars, two vehicles, fully insured. And I'm moving to a state that's going to cost me $325 a month. And my taxes are going to be almost like triple. And you want to move to where? Now, God is my witness. God has taken care of that. And that's because, listen to me, I'm just doing what God wants me to do. And there's no greater joy and there's no greater peace than doing what God wants you to do. But the devil sometimes wants me to get entangled. I wrote this down, and I'll go to the last point. We'll be through in a couple minutes here. As good soldiers, we should eat, but not be entangled in eating. All right, you ready? Whew, Lord, have mercy. So I'm on this hormone stuff, oral hormone, and a hormone shot. And literally what happens now, if I work like for about 5 or 10 minutes, I'm exhausted, trying to keep my testosterone going. They're trying to take my manhood away from me. Hello. Along with the hot flashes. What also it wants me to do is it feels like I have to eat all the time. Therefore, lose 25 pounds and put 25 pounds back on. And now I become having a seafood diet, amen? Seafood and eat it, amen? But I said all that to say this, you can be eating, but don't be entangled in eating. Don't let it consume your life. Sleep, but don't be entangled by sleeping. There are some people in here, Lord have mercy, you could sleep all day. Oh, somebody laughing around here. Come on now, my dad, I don't think as a teenager I even slept past 7:30 in my life. I'm wired different. Since 1982, a missionary challenged me not to use an alarm clock. So since 1982, I don't use an alarm clock. I just ask God to wake me up. Lately, it's been really early in the morning. And sometimes I want to go back to night-night. Hello? But God is in control. You ready? Take a vacation, but don't be entangled in vacation. Some people go on vacation and they take a vacation from God. Where'd you get that in Bible? Go on vacation, find a church, go to church. Have a blast. But be in church. Have recreation, but not be entangled in recreation. I'm going to close here and I'm finished. The last one is endurance. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:3 and we'll close. Endurance. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The race we're in is a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. And if you're ever going to reach the finish line, you're going to endure some hardness. And let me just help you here. There's not a lot of people who endure to the end. Listen, the only thing you get for starting this race is you get salvation in heaven. That's a great thing. Okay? But here you go. Watch it. Your reward is when you finish the race. No matter how many detours you make, and no matter how many setbacks in your life, you ready? Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus that's set before you. Reach to the end. I'm not looking to start this race. I started strong, but I want to finish strong. Come on, I don't want to give up. I don't want to quit. I want to finish strong. I'm finished. So are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. And I pray most of all that you'd help us to be a good soldier.